Yo, what's going on? This is Relaxing LG underscore Jackson, and I'm here with my amigos and compadres in March, at the end of March, actually, about to be April, on a Monday night. How are you guys doing this evening?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your boy, Big Cozy, Too Cozy, the motherfucking main event in the evening. There's only one tribal chief, the only tribal chief, the only head of the table, the only person that's relevant, the only person that matters, the only person that is only significant to the populace, what you call mankind. It's me, yours truly, the Durag King, the bad guy, RP, the original bad guy. Big Cozy, Too Cozy. What's up, guys? Let them know who you are.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? You checking it out? It's Spence from the Holiday Vibes podcast. Like my friend said, it's another week back. As you all know, it's the end of the month, so don't get a joke played on you tomorrow. But other than that, I can't complain. Life's good. Can't complain. The weather's great. Life's good. Paper straight. So how about y'all? How about yourself?
I'm not doing too bad, man. You know what I mean?
Things I thought you was about to say you was doing bad. you about to say, let's just cut that part out.
Nah, things are going pretty well for me. I am in a good spot, you know. They have me doing some stuff at the job, you know, so I'm trying to get that done. But everything is good and everything is great. And I feel good and getting workouts in because I know the good summer is coming in and I'm ready for the good weather, you know.
Nacho, you got a job? I thought you was a multi-million-dollar investor.
One day. Not yet.
Okay. I could have tell because, you know, all of a sudden, Nacho's wearing a designer, got Carhartt on top of his head. Wearing the Gucci glasses.
So you keep looking to the side, man.
Yeah.
Nah. Like, I know you see him.
Believe it or not, I wear glasses all the time, listeners. I just try to take them off because of the glare. And that's why I try to not, you know, have them on while I'm actually recording the podcast.
Yeah. Listeners, don't let him fool you. He's just being humble. He's being really humble right now. He got a few million. He just told me the other day, he was like, yo, man, what jet you think I should get, the G4 or the G5? And I was like, just get whatever you see fit, Nigel. And now that we get on here, he's talking about, yeah, my 9-to-5 job at Kmart, you know, they got me cleaning up aisle 6, you know, I'm no longer a cashier. Now, I'm like, come on, Nigel, stop lying to these people, man.
So listeners, believe it or not, in a moment of transparency, that was at one point in time a reality for me and Big Cozy, Too Cozy. We were working at said department store and I was cleaning up. I'm no longer there.
And
that's how I think I met you.
Yo, we all worked at this particular
department
store, whatever the fuck you want to call it. And this was many moons ago, probably over a decade ago, maybe.
It was a little bit over a decade ago.
Yeah, a little bit over a decade.
Yeah.
All you time converters out there, figure out the time.
Oh man. Yeah, it's kind of crazy how things kind of work that way though. In hindsight, I'm quite sure. What would you tell yourself today? What would you tell your that person in today?
I'll tell in a few words.
Okay, I was about to say, are we really gonna dive deep?
I mean,
slow down.
What's understood doesn't need to be explained.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you guys understand.
That's right.
Slow down.
Oh man, how about yourself, Nigel?
You know, I would tell myself to just be more comfortable in my own skin. You know, I feel like every time over the years, I get more and more comfortable in my own skin. So it was like, just be cool doing your own thing, I think is what I would tell myself if I could.
I respect that.
I respect it too, man. Like I said, I never would have seen Nacho wear anything name brand wise. So you can tell it's getting more comfortable, man.
It's not. I've had this hat for a long time, believe it or not. Like I just choose not to wear it.
I hear you, man. I hear you. I hear you, man. I've known you for over a decade, man. Yeah. I've never seen a logo on anything you worn until today. Not even on your sneakers, nothing.
You haven't seen the cat either. Doesn't mean I don't have it though.
I'm trying to expense a trip on the, you know what I'm saying? Let me hop on the jet. Yeah,
what would you tell yourself? G5.
Oh, what would I tell myself? Whew. It's gonna work. It's gonna work. Trust yourself and it's gonna work out. Probably the most I would probably say, because I think any of us know when you're going through those years, especially none of us had, not all of us was trying to figure this whole life thing out. We still are. So yeah. It's kind of like, yo, in the process over years, you learn like, okay, you have to trust. Like over years, you start to see like the fruits of your labor. And you're like, yo, if I trust myself more than, you seeing people get distracted with side things or, oh, this looks enticing today, but not gratifying tomorrow. So you just got to trust yourself, man. That's probably it. Cause it is one, cause trust me, 10 years ago today, life is still sweet.
Yeah, man. Slow down, man.
Yeah.
But a lot can happen in 10 years, man. Like that's not a short amount of time at all. You know,
heck no. A life, you could learn in the beginning of 10 years, right? If today was like the mark of like, okay, I'm taking today and 10 years from today, any of us can drastically be different people. 1,000 times more successful, 1,000 times more richer, 1,000 more times anything that we can dream of, right? And it's just, it's a plan, like it, but I think when you're that young though, it's a difference. I feel like.
Well, I feel like, my bad, not to cut you off, Law. I feel like my dreams and my thought process have changed so much from 10 years ago. Like who I was and you know the way I thought and what I wanted has definitely transformed into something that it wasn't before.
Oh, I definitely can see that.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I think everybody, it's all part of like maturity and becoming older, becoming wiser. You start to realize certain things you might have been fucking with, or you really thought you really wanted. As you get older and you mature, as some people will pronounce it, you start to be like, maybe I don't want to do this, or maybe I want to do it like this. So it's not far-fetched of what you're saying, though. You know what I'm saying? But like,
that's a fact.
To piggyback off what Spence is saying, like, you're right. You know, from 10 years from today, shit was different. I remember 10 years ago, you guys remember when I was pushing that 06 Hyundai Elantra?
Yeah.
What am I pushing today?
Big body Benz. Big body Benz. I remember when I used to be dusty. What?
So I'm just saying 10 years is a long time.
Nah, that's a fact. That's a fact. More often than not, I don't even think most people, and that's why I say like it's different today than at 20. I feel like at 16, my planning at 16 is different than 26. And the same would be when I'm 36 and 46, so on and so forth. But it's like, you say to yourself, like, yo, whatever, at 21, whatever, you like you say, your desires change, your needs and wants. You ever heard,
right.
You remember, you ever heard the story, the life and story of Andre Benjamin?
No.
But, well, it's by Andre 3000. It's at the end of
Love Below. Oh, my bad. I didn't know the name of the song. That's my favorite album. My bad. I'm tripping.
Yeah, well, at the very end of the song, he's like, yo, he was like, the whole summer you've been working, you've been trying to get this rabbit out of your car, hoopty. He's like, now the summer's over, and you got the rabbit, whatever. He's like, now the summer's over, you don't want that rabbit anymore. You want something better. So it's kind of like you work hard for something, you get it, and then it's like, okay, now yeah, you want more. But when you're that young, you don't even understand what all there is to offer until you go out and try to get something. And then you're like, okay, now with all that knowledge, now I understand there's so much more that you don't know, but there's so much more that you do know to go get. So.
But you hit on it while you were saying it, though. Like, if you're not trying to get it, then you wouldn't know, because like you will try to get it. And when you get it, you realize, okay, now I need something else. You know what I mean? And that's what you realize a lot of the time.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, what's better than 10 million?
Sure. What's that?
20 million. From some movie, I think. So, but nah, that's how it works, though. It's like, I think that's just human. I think that's just humans for the most part. Not all humans, but I think to some extent, it's just the desire to want more. Like, you could say, oh, you wanted a pair of Jordans when you were in high school,
right?
Or whatever. And once you get them, and then it's like, oh, I always wanted these sneakers. Now I got them. Okay, now I want another pair of sneakers.
Or it, not even if you get the sneakers, let's say, all right, when you're in high school, you couldn't, you know, sniff $200 from your ass. And then all of a sudden, when you get the $200, you're kind of like, damn, I don't want the Jordans. I kind of want to save the money. Yeah.
Exactly.
I'd rather save for a car.
You'd be surprised. Some people put the cart before the horse, man.
I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying the way I was thinking back in the day, personally. That's just me. Hey, I can't speak for everybody. Like, I'm just saying.
Not even. Oh man.
Nah.
I feel like you got something to get off your chest, man. First thing I thought about was the story Lau told about you with the fly in the shoes. I'm like, okay, of course you went and wanted sneakers before a Jesus. Car.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, that makes
that's
sense,
crazy. Bro. Yeah, that story's a myth. But listeners go back and listen to it.
Yeah, it definitely is. Go back. Listen to 1 through 90, man. Listen to everything.
This is episode 90.
Yeah, man. 10 away from 1,000 or 100.
Yeah, I was about to say your math is off. Yeah. I was going to just let you rock.
Yeah.
Did we tell the listeners where they can follow us at?
Oh,
sure. Let me say it right. Make sure you get your old dirty, dusty ass. Get your cracked fingers. You know, don't grab the lotion, grab your keyboards and follow us at Highly Advised Podcast on Instagram. Make sure you follow us at Highly Advised Podcast on YouTube. Actually, subscribe to us, like, comment, and share. Tell your people. If you're not telling your people, you're dumb. So tell your people. Jeez. And then make sure you follow us on Twitter at Advise Highly. Check us out. Even if you don't say a word, the following is what counts. And to the listeners and the viewers that already subscribed to us and that already follow us, thank you. We appreciate you. You guys are not on the chopping block. That's it.
Yeah. So like you said, just follow us on Instagram, Twitter. Instagram, whatever, man. Like he said, man, just follow us.
Wherever you
go. I can't really follow up. There's nothing really to follow up after that, man.
Oh, man. Do we even introduce ourselves or do we?
We had a whole conversation, bro. Well,
I know we had a whole conversation. That's, you know, our first topic, but I wasn't sure if we were actually given our names and whatnot.
Okay. I'm Big Cozy. That's Mr. Carhartt, Nigel, Heel Jackson. And the man with a stupendous background is Saint Kitch, aka Saint Picasso, aka Basquiat, aka
Basquiat. Yeah, you got this. Don't tell that man. Oh my god, this man called me Basquiat. He called Basquiat Basquiat.
He said Basquiat.
Basquiat. I feel like that's something Action Bronson would call him, man.
Bam Bam. What do you say? Baklava, Bam Bam, Bam, Bam. Bronsolino, all sorts of nicknames. Unique individual. Shouts out to him.
So, you know what's low key kind of funny though? Most of those names are just his own version of like food for the most part.
I'm not even mad at it though.
Yeah. Baklava. Have y'all ever had baklava before?
I have. I like baklava personally. I think it's kind of delicious.
Nah, it's fire. It's definitely fire. See?
I'm not lying.
Maybe. I never had it. I would try it though. I'm open to foods.
Yeah, it's literally just puff pastry, sugar, water, and pistachios. Like in terms of like some people that recreate it, probably want to go. I'm not sure where you could find it originally, but it's kind of like the same sentiment though. No, but it tastes really good.
Spence, I know you've been busy, but I know you have taken out the time out of your week to watch the season premiere of Atlanta.
Bruh, of course. And
spoiler, so I'm not sure as to how you're gonna handle this one.
Y'all mute so your far. Mics. Mute your mics and call each other on the phone. And then put that audio on the podcast. And timestamp it so I know what to skip.
Oh man. I don't know. You might want to go take a bayou break or something. I don't know. But bruh, that episode was amazing. One, the first episode was really good. I think that first episode was really good.
Right.
I'm not sure if you know this, but the lake that they were talking about, it's a real lake. You know that, right?
I heard about it, but I never really looked into it like that.
Yeah, it's a dangerous lake that everybody goes to apparently. Right. But the first episode was amazing. Like typical Donald Glover fashion, Childish Gambino, whatever you want to call him. The first episode is just left field.
Well, what I'll say, even without watching the show, you can watch the season premiere of this recent episode, or I'm sorry, recent season, and won't really affect the story of the show that's going on.
It will not affect not one red cent of the whole show. You could literally go turn it on right now and be like, what did I just watch? And I'm gonna be honest with you, anybody that's watched the whole series of Atlanta up to this point will say the same thing. What did I just watch? It's no different to me. This episode reminded me of you remember the episode where Paperboy's having like the conversation, like, well, not the conversation, that's too vague, but you remember it's the episode where he does the commercials himself.
You're talking where he goes into the woods?
Nah, it's the guy. It's like a Charger commercial.
Nah, I don't remember that.
You never see, bro. It's like the weirdest episode. There's no commercials in the whole episode. And literally, this is like in season three or season two, but nonetheless, it's just a very weird episode. But that's what this reminded me of. But this was just, I don't know. Before I say too much, what was your thoughts on the show?
Without getting into too much detail as to what happened in the episode. I think that this episode was one of the ones where it has humor, but it's also like, it's kind of dark humor, but it's kind of just an interesting take on something that could actually happen. Probably is happening somewhere. And like, probably not to that extent. It's like a very, it's a weird look and take on how certain family dynamics work. I'll put it like that.
If that's what we're calling it, family dynamics.
what would you call it?
I don't know what I would call it. Not sure if family dynamics would be the right definition, but I do agree there. That episode hits a lot of pain points that I think a lot of people don't even
right. You wouldn't even think about it until it's like it's put right on its face like that.
And even then, I don't think people will realize it.
Right.
Because it depends on how you parallel the meaning, what you see versus what you think the deeper meaning of the show could be, right? Or the first episode could be. And it's it's a lot of dynamics going on in there. A lot of especially a lot of social dynamics.
A lot of subtle things they kind of put in there too. I like that.
Free hugs, man. Free hugs. That's that all I got to say.
I will leave it there. We'll leave it there. Free hugs, that's it, man. That's it. Yeah.
Dog, I'm not going to lie. when that scene happened on the show, anybody that's watched the show, watched the first episode of Atlanta, and like we told Lyle, if you never seen Atlanta before, you could watch this first the first episode of season 4, and it will have no relation to the show, the series, and as a whole. So I think I'll put it this way, this was one of those episodes where Donald Glover just was able to use his creative expression to get whatever was out in his mind out, and it was illustrated perfectly.
Yeah,
but
it's very interesting. When we
get to the whole part of free hugs, listen, that part I felt like that was it had a sense of satire to it, but to me I felt like it was like it addressed like a lot of different like weird situations for the character. The story that the character was going through, it made it that more complex. It made it a lot harder for him in his environment. And right. I'm trying not to say too much without one thing I will say, just watch the first episode of the fourth season, like today, tomorrow, before we record again, just watch it. As soon as you watch it, as soon as the first episode's over, you're going to be like, what just happened? You're just going to be like, what's, you're going to say that the whole episode. Whole episode, bro. I don't want to milk it, but yeah, it's definitely go watch this. I think this shows that this is going to be a very interesting season. Definitely with it being 2 episodes for the first season, similar to what, I'm not sure if that's like a thing with FX or not, because I know what show, Snowfall did the same thing. So I think there may be this tradition they have now of doing 2 episodes for the season opener. But yeah, the first episode was kind of more of a creative expression. Second episode was just actually more of like to the storyline of the show. And it's interesting seeing where they're picking up at. I will say that much. So,
well, shouts out to y'all. I hope the listeners, fuck with it.
I'll tell you one thing that the listeners more than likely have been messing with is definitely the events that happened at the Oscars over the weekend. If you don't know, the Twitter streets were ablaze. Will Smith turned the internet upside down with one single motion of defending his wife. Some have questioned it to be the slap that was heard around the world. Chris Rock does his jokes as he would any other time opening for the Oscars and makes a G.I. Jane joke about Jada Smith. And Will Smith didn't take too kind to that, and he proceeded to walk up there, smack the mess out of him, and told him, keep my wife's name out your mouth.
No, you got to say it like how he said it.
Say it then, man. I don't cuss, man.
Yeah, you do. You just cussed a few times when you were talking about that.
I don't cuss, man.
He just cussed a few times. I mean, he basically just said, hey, keep my wife's name out my bleeping mouth. Out your bleeping mouth.
Keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth.
See, there we go. That's what he said. But he said it twice, and the second time louder.
I'm not going to do all that. But
second time to let him know he wasn't playing.
Right. And he did a little neck roll with it, too.
Did one of those like, yo, listen, we can get real chippy up in here.
No, he did. I saw the neck roll. I saw that.
What's up?
Nah, man. What's your take on this? On this whole thing?
Nah, go ahead. I want to hear your take first, man, because I haven't talked to you about it at all.
Ooh. Oh,
Garius.
I mean, I'll put it this way, right? So,
There's
been a lot of debates, or a few conversations about this. And one thing I partially think this was kind of like planned. I don't think everybody was in on the joke to some extent.
Okay.
But man, I don't know how Chris Rock, I don't know how this whole thing is going to, I'll put it this way. In terms of between Will Smith and Chris Rock, I think this is going to probably create more of a conversation, especially when it comes to Will Smith, because as anybody knows, Will Smith has been the butt of everybody's joke up until this moment. And I think a lot of people, which I totally understand. Too. Yeah.
Your jokes too.
Just like yours.
I
don't think about
it. I support it.
Now we all making jokes about Will.
This man is scared of Will. No, he's like, yo, listen, man, I saw what Will did to Chris.
Scared him straight.
Yeah, he was like, yo, he set an example and I followed.
I'm just saying, I wouldn't want to get slapped like Chris. After the dude got slapped, you saw his mouth was like disfigured. It was crazy. Like Will hit him like he was still thinking that he was Muhammad Ali from back in 02. So it was like, I'm just saying, bro. I say, Will, yo, and he was like sitting there tearing up and shit. I could tell, like, all right, in my opinion, I thought it wasn't staged. I thought, okay, it had enough realism to come off as like this was just kind of a non-planned incident. Spence, before I get into my take, do you think Will was right on his shit, in your opinion? If it was a staged event?
Only reason why I'd say it's staged is just because there are rumors where the joke itself that Chris Rock made didn't come from him himself. It was allegedly there were writers that actually pushed for that joke to be put on, which kind of prompted this to end up happening, which in terms of like a whole theory to me, I just feel like this was the easiest way of saying, hey, I boycotted this place. I'm coming back here finally. And when I come back here to end all the jokes, we're going to set something up where it's Will Smith. Nobody's going to touch Will Smith at the end of the day. And at the end of the day, he's defending his wife. He feels as though his wife was offended. So he's defending his wife. To some extent, I totally agree. And I understand that. But I also look at it from the side of being a fan of comedy. And stand-up comedy, especially, is one of the downsides of comedy, right? Or the unfortunate part of comedy, where for something to be funny, you are offending somebody, and that's to me, that's where the other side. To me, that's where a part of me lies on that. So, for the most overall, I would say I'm kind of torn 50-50, I guess.
All right, so let me put a real scenario out for you. You're there at an award show with your Queen Elizabeth, right? You're Queen Elizabeth. You and Queen Elizabeth sitting there. She shaves her hair or what? No, she does. She has a new hairstyle. Your immortal enemy, your arch nemesis, your rivals on stage crack a joke about your Queen Elizabeth, your goddess. You're going to sit there and just laugh?
There's nothing to laugh about if my wife has a health condition. So I totally understand that. So that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I look at it from two different perspectives as a person that's been to comedy shows and been the butt of a comedian's jokes. Actually, Chris Rock's brother, to be exact, like to go from to be in that situation and also understand like, okay, there's two options, right? Either you become the butt of the joke for the whole night and you laugh with it, or you roll with the punches, or you try to be the person to come back. In this situation, this is Will Smith, which at the end of the day, he's one of the more untouchable people in Hollywood, especially amongst the elites, if you understand what I mean. So,
yeah. So here's my opinion. I personally don't think of a stage. I mean, I'm pretty sure you go on Reddit and the dark web, you can find some, you know, interconnection. Who gives a fuck? So what I'm trying to say, though, is I think Will Smith was wrong to get on stage and smack Chris Rock. I'm not saying it's wrong to check Chris Rock. So I feel like, yes, the joke was in bad taste. I'm not going to dispute that. But I felt like Will could have handled that differently. I felt like Will could... I'm not upset at him walking on stage. I'm not upset at all. I don't disagree with him walking on stage. Maybe he could have checked him verbally. Maybe he could have told him, like, yo, shut the fuck up before I give you one of these. Instead, he walked up and gave him one of these anyway. I think that that was kind of like, well, damn, Will, like, you know, when August Alsina basically came out and folded Jada up like a pretzel, you didn't come after him.
You didn't learn from Chris, did you? Yeah.
But Chris, he said something, and it wasn't nowhere near the shit that August was saying, or even Jada was saying herself, even though she was trying to be transparent about a situation. Will walked up, and he gave him the stiffest slap you could hear in your lifetime. So I feel like now it kind of comes off to me. My perception is anytime in a public setting, somebody mentions something about your wife, now you got to go check them. Because if you were willing to smack Chris Rock over something like that, and I'm not saying the joke was appropriate, I'm not saying that. Now you got to check other people too. You can't just pick and choose. You got to be 100% about it all the time. And I feel like, once again, I advocate for Will to stand up for his wife and defend his wife. Absolutely. I just don't think he should have smacked Chris Rock. Now, if Chris Rock called Jada out her name or was making jokes about her sleeping around, yeah, I would have went on stage too, except I would have slapped him. I would have hit him with a stiff hook and see how many of them he could take, because that's crossing the line. But the G.I. Jane joke, yeah, it was poor, but I don't think Chris should have got the taste smacked out of his mouth for it.
I felt like, to me, when I watched it kind of play out the way it did, it was interesting because Will Smith has every right to stand up for his wife, but at the same point in time, the joke was a light jab, if anything else. I feel like when he did what he did, it was more or less him, like, I felt like it was him taking out a lot of his anger that's, you know, kind of built up over these events on Chris Rock, for one. And I don't think that's necessarily right. But also, like, when I saw Will Smith laughing at the joke, I kind of thought, okay, well, the joke must not have been that serious, you know, to really hit on that point. It's like, oh, he turned to Jada and saw her face and he was like, oh, okay, now I have to do something about this. That's what it seemed like to me.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was to me, that when it came off to me. Because you could tell when he joked about it, she was not happy from the jump.
But he was laughing, though.
And he was laughing, but like you said, as soon as he looked at her, he was kind of like, damn, all right. I need to handle this.
Right. Like, for whatever reason, you know what I mean? That's what he saw to do. And we've all been with somebody as they went through something. Like, if they're going through something that's serious enough to fight over, I'll say, or go and smack somebody over, I don't think you're going to be on the side kind of kikiing at it. You know what I mean? So that's just my opinion personally. But I mean, like, I think Will Smith was wrong, because at the end of the day, Chris Rock is doing his job, you know, getting on stage, doing what these people do every year. And he made a joke about Jada. And I'm not sure if he knew as to what was going on with her or not, so we can't necessarily speak on that. But that's his job, to make fun of the celebrities. That's what all of the comedians do when they get on stage.
Right. So,
go ahead.
I'm not upset at Chris Rock for making the joke, right? Especially if he didn't know, I'm not upset. If he did know, hey, you know, you have to be checked. Now the situation. Right. Now, of course, we don't know if he knew or not, and I don't know if Will knew if he knew or not, right? And if we're basing this, if it was a stage, I'm not mad at Will going up to check the dude. I just don't think he should have put his hands on him, unless he crossed the line and like called her out of her name, like, oh, she's a fucking bitch. And
right. Said like, some disrespectful stuff to her. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, yeah, I just seen her fucking my mans in the back.
That's wild. That's wild.
Exactly. That's what they say. Yeah. Now Will could go on stage and give him a couple stiff ones.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you know.
And nobody's gonna be mad.
Well, you know, you'll have fake outrage people. I've seen people on Twitter like, oh, he could have killed him and snapped his neck. And,
well, no, that's too much. People also got to start stop turning this situation into something that's not. Like, Will Smith didn't do this on the behalf of anyone. I'll put it like that. You know what I mean? Like, this was just some stuff between him and Chris Rock.
You know what's funny? You see Jada's Smith tweet. He's like, hey, that's how we do.
Like, to me, like, the situation is just kind of, I understand why it's being blown up because it's a crazy situation, but people are turning it into like some type of movement that Will Smith did for them. It's like, no, he just smacked them on behalf of his wife.
I just think it's crazy because, like, I guess from, you know, in my lifetime, in your guys' lifetime, do you remember an incident like this on the Oscars? Where somebody just got smacked like a mother effer on the motherfucking national TV? Like, I don't remember that shit. You guys obviously don't remember it. I think the only people that might remember something similar is like way back in like the 80s when that journalist Dave Schultz got slapped by that professional wrestler by asking him on live TV if wrestling was fake. And the guy smacked he smacked him so hard, head bouncing off the wall and shit. And said, and he was like, and he asked the journalist, he said, oh, do you think that's fake? And the journalist is like, all fucked up. And you know, I'm like, damn. And maybe that's the last time a crazy incident like that happened. But I think that's why it's been blown up, because it's like, yo, this is on national TV.
Yeah, I mean, but it's not like Will Smith doesn't have like a history of this, though. So I think that's another, I think that's something that, where it's surprising, but it's not that surprising in the sense that he's done this before. I don't know. There's a lot that can be said, though. I'll leave it at that. I'll just leave it at that.
To me, it just seems kind of wrong. I don't know, man. Like, I get it. I understand what people are trying to make it, but it just seems like this isn't necessarily, you know, Will just getting upset over that. I think he got upset because his wife got upset. You know what I mean? And that's fair. That's understandable. But he could have handled it a different way. You know, he wasn't like, oh, I immediately need to go handle this because I'm upset that he made fun of my wife. Like, that's not what this was.
In Will's defense, right? What if that was just like the heat of the moment shit? People do shit in heat of the moment.
Then why would you keep in?
No, but that's what I'm saying. He probably seen his wife and immediately he probably thought like, oh shit, to make it seem like I'm not laughing at my wife neither, I need to go up and handle it too. You know what I'm saying? Maybe. Like, if that's what I'm saying. If you walking around with your Tory and a guy grabbed Tory's butt, you go turn around and you might swing on the guy. Or you might be like, hey man, it's fair game. So no, I don't know.
That's crazy.
I don't know how you gonna react. You know, it's the heat of the moment.
That's wild.
I'm just saying, bro. You and Tory. You, Tory, Spence, and Queen Elizabeth.
No, I hear you. I don't know, man. Like, at the end of the day, shout out to Chris Rock, man, because he's still gonna be funny regardless.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, no, I don't think anybody loses in this situation. No one loses. Well, plus on top of it, I'm quite sure Chris Rock is probably going to sell a lot more tickets now that this has happened.
Yeah, like, this is his sales for his upcoming shows skyrocket.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised at, especially knowing, especially with this, is going to be interesting seeing with him performing with Kevin Hart over the summer.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Cause you know, they're doing like a New York tour in the summertime. So this is going to be interesting in terms of for him, as well as I think for Will Smith, this finally put the bid, a lot of talk. I think people have, if anything, someone will probably call this bluff at some point, which we'll see how that works out. But.
Well, one more question before we move on. Do you think this should strip his Oscar award away?
No.
I don't think so, but that's a whole nother conversation, I think.
What I'll say is people have done worse shit and still have their Oscars, so you know, that's where I'll leave that at.
Fair enough.
At the Oscars?
No, I mean in their lives that haven't got their Oscars taken away.
No, I'm saying, well, that I think the reason for taking his Oscar away would be because of
the incident at the Oscars.
Yeah, like because I mean, essentially, this would be the equivalent if this was like an award show, that a hip hop award show. This would be equivalent to a fight at an award show,
right?
Or to some extent, like that. I wouldn't even use Sue Surf yesterday, but
I mean, I wouldn't personally, but they. I feel like something. I wouldn't blame them if they did take some type of action just because of what it is. You know what I mean? Like, I know that they don't like that type of shit.
I don't, to be honest with you, I don't really think Will cares that much, to be honest with you. I mean, they, what was it, like a few years ago, they were just protesting. So I think if they did take it away, it would never negate the fact that he won an Oscar.
Right.
Like, and history, it might be an asterisk next to it, but it doesn't negate. And who do you think is going to actually come to Will Smith's place and be like, we got to come back and take this. He's going to get a, even if you take the Oscar, he's going to have an Oscar.
That's right. I mean, that person may be the people that Khloe Covington called the police on.
Oh, wow. And Chris Rock didn't press charges like him.
Yeah, you're right. Chris didn't. And he got blunt force trauma.
Now, they said Jorge Masvidal tried to smack Khloe Covington at the steakhouse, but I'm not sure exactly as to what happened.
Well, apparently, I think he did punch him because he fractured his teeth. I read that his wrist was also fractured. And then apparently his Rolex was damaged as well. So like he pressed. 10,000. Yeah, so he was pressing charges like a motherfucker on the situation.
I think it's an interesting thing, this whole situation, because Jorge Masvidal and Khloe Covington fought maybe like a week prior to them getting into this little life scuffle, I guess they got into.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so in that fight, Jorge Masvidal did damn near nothing. And then
he got spanked.
Yeah, and he caught him at a steakhouse and, you know, decided to try and get his payback there. I mean, of course, their beef is real life beef. So, I mean, I get it. But, like, at the same point in time, Jorge Masvidal being who he is, attacking him at a steakhouse, what did he expect to happen? You know what I mean? Like, that's not something that was avoidable. It's not like he caught him in a parking lot anywhere. So what was he expecting, you know? And on top of that, Khloe Covington doesn't present himself to be the type of person who's not going to press charges on somebody.
I think everybody knows that. And I think everybody gets that. I think some people were surprised, though, because of the amount of shit Khloe was talking to. Right. Like, oh, if I see him in the streets, I'm going to put him in the concrete. The fight is not, you know, no, and this is like after the post, this is after their fight was over. He was still talking shit about it. So I think some people were surprised that Khloe was going to do that. My situation is, because you have a lot of people on Twitter who's talking about the shit that's never been involved in no street shit, that can't even sniff it, that's sitting in the basement, dwelling, shitting in the same underwear they've been wearing for 7 days a week, eating the pizza rolls, getting yelled at by their mom type shit, right? And they're here talking about street shit and all that stuff. I feel like if Khloe Covington and Jorge Masvidal were average people, to me, it would have been like a it is what it is type of situation, right? But since they're not average people and they're both known figures, I think it's not, for what Jorge did was not smart. Because I'm like, you're in a position where, like, you're risking your freedom, because, like you said, Khloe Covington is the type of guy who would do some shit like that when we're talking about pressing charges. But now you're risking the money that you've worked so hard to get. If the shit about you being a deadbeat dad is not true, well, now it's going to put you in a position where you're going to be away from your children. Because of this man is going to make sure he could do anything that you could suffer. I don't think Jorge should have attacked him just because of the stature that he's in. That situation is a tricky one, man, because it's kind of like Khloe, he's a guy that this is not the first time he's been attacked. Remember, Fabricio Werdum was chucking a boomerang at him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. The shit where he was in the buffet line and Kamaru Usman and his manager Ali ran up on him and shit like that. And Khloe was ready. He called the cops in the video. Again, he called the cops before Fabricio Werdum. This guy's a cop caller. He loves, you know, speed up. So, but the reason why he gets in these altercations is because he's talking so much shit. And I don't like how people are defending him, saying like, they're picking and choosing. That's what I don't like, right? Because the people who are defending Kobe are kind of like, oh, well, you know, words. They're just words. You should have, you're a fighter. You should man up, duh, duh. But it's funny because, like, I remember when Jorge, he pieced up Leon and people were parading him. He was a superstar for that. We got to give him the main event, Madison Square Garden. And then also, Habib, when he jumped the cage to do a front diving kick on Dylan Danis, people were praising him. He talked about his religion. He deserved it, da da. But as soon as Kobe is the one that's getting punched up on, oh, how can you do that? You're a thug, disgusting, da da da. People do that shit, man. And that's the shit I don't like. I don't think Jorge should have ran up on him, but the attacks on Jorge is ridiculous because it's just selective. You know, they're just choosing what they want to support. And that also paints a bigger picture as well.
No, I mean, you're right, because when he attacked Leon Edwards, it was two-piece in a soda. And that's celebrated. They have a highlight of that every time it comes around in a year and everything like that. Yeah, like they really make it a thing. So when they talk about this, they're not going to celebrate it. They're just going to talk about the charges that were brought upon Jorge, which is unfortunate. I mean, because I understand like they're two different situations, but at the same point in time, they're relatively similar. You know, when you're talking about Jorge just running up on somebody and punching him, like he's obviously, you know, the kind of guy, if he has a problem with you, he's going to run up on you. And that just is what it is. But, you know, if it's okay in one situation, it has to be okay in the other.
Exactly, man. You can't, I don't like the pick and choose shit that these fickle fans are doing. I don't like it. Right. Because remember, just about what, 2-3 years ago, Street Jesus, the Messiah.
Exactly.
You know, oh, he's going to knock Usman stiff. His toes are going to curl up. You know, it's going to split the toenails. And then now all of a sudden everybody's turning on him. It's crazy.
I mean, you know how fickle the fans are, man. That's like, that's just always going to be the case. Like, I think in this situation, at the end of the day, like, I think you should always understand if you're talking, and it's in history. You can go as far back as Muhammad Ali. I think one of his opponents pulled a gun out on him before, prior to a fight, just because he talked so much. Yeah, so it's like, when you talk that much, you have to expect something to happen. And granted, most fighters think once the fight's over with, it's over. But I mean, that's just, I think unfortunately, when you have someone like Jorge Masvidal in this situation, is because he lost the fight, where you have, because typically when you have these fights, someone fights and then typically they squash the beef afterwards and they go their separate ways or they become cool, or it's like a John Jones and Daniel Cormier thing. But in this situation, in this situation, it's like, okay, the guy that lost finds a guy on the street and ends up punching him. And I mean, of course, to me, I don't think there's anything wrong with this situation. I mean, it happens in this type of sport at the end of the day, especially when you talk a lot. But unfortunately, Jorge is going to get the shorter end of the stick on this one, man, just because he lost the fight against Kobe. And anybody that watched the fight pretty much is unanimous that Jorge didn't really do much of anything in that fight. Yeah. So it's like, okay, that's how most people are going to look at it. It's no different than, you know how in high school, where the one team loses the basketball game, so now they want to fight the other team.
Yep.
And people look at it a certain way. That's how a lot of people are going to look at this. I mean, I think Jorge, in the field that he's in, and you know his history, you should expect this. But especially when they were actually friends at one point, so there's real bad blood there.
Right.
But
one of the things that tripped me out about this whole shit is how people are trying to, like, now all of a sudden, and this is what I'm saying about the Pikachu shit, oh, that's not honorable. He's not being a real warrior. He's just being a scumbag tactic. And I'm kind of like, yo, prize fighting is not honorable to begin with. If you want something honorable, you need to go watch and support your local karate tournaments. You need to go out there and, no, I'm being honest. Those people are not fighting for money. You have people here talking shit about each other, trying to sell a fight so they could get money. That's not honor. That's not honorable. And then all of a sudden, when something happens to a fighter that you support, that you wave your flag about, that you fucking go to sleep and cry about, all of a sudden, it wasn't honorable. That's the fickle shit I don't like, man. And I'm not even a Jorge Masvidal fan. I'm just saying that I just see a lot of people switching sides when there were fans before.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say that there's no, and that's probably, it's never going to change, man. Like, we're going to see this. We'll always see this with any fighter, I think. But I think when it's, especially in this situation, like I said, like when it's the guy that lost the fight recently, I think people are extremely fickle. And on top of it, I think it's unanimous when we can say, like, someone like Jorge Masvidal, he's probably on his way out of the UFC anyway. Just based off up until this point, minus this altercation, but just after his fight with Colby Covington, we all agreed that he's probably only got maybe a handful of fights left in the UFC unless he's able to turn something around. So, like,
you talking about Jorge or Colby?
Jorge.
Okay, all right.
Why would I say that about Colby?
I was just making sure. I'm sorry.
But yeah, like, so Colby, in the case for Jorge, I think a lot had me questioning myself. Like, in the case for Jorge, I think people are just like, oh, well, this guy's already out. And I mean, we know the fan base that Colby has. So, like, they're going to support him, if you get what I mean. So I've seen something with Conor over the past week where two things. I think I saw something where he got arrested, well as I guess he wanted to challenge Usman. Did you guys catch any of that?
Yeah. So once again, he got arrested again for another record breaking time for driving. So, you know, it's Conor, you know, and he's going to get away with it because it's Conor. Now the Usman shit, I think that's the real talking point. So he was in an interview in his bar or restaurant, I mean, and the guy who was interviewing was kind of like shaking in his boots and shit like that because he didn't want to say the wrong thing to Conor. And Conor was like, yeah, I, Usman is a jab happy, sloppy wrestler. I think in my return fight, I could come back, beat him, and win my third world championship.
Is his leg still broke? My bad. I'm cutting you off. Go ahead.
And, you know, of course, everybody reacted the same way that you just did. You just started smiling. and you know, people are laughing at this shit. I just think that if Conor comes back to fight Usman, he would borderline cripple him. So,
oh yeah, if he fought Usman is going to break his leg, and it's an indefinite. It's indefinite. Yeah. Conor's career be indefinite after that.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just kind of laughable to think that Conor McGregor is going to come back and suddenly beat Usman. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I understand Conor is Conor, but he's not getting better with this time off. He needs to just fight more. Honestly, he just does.
No, he needs to fight for the belt. That's it.
No, man, come on.
Yeah.
This is why he keeps on getting in trouble.
Yeah, listen, man. We talked about prize fighters.
Yeah.
He's the king prize fighter in the UFC. Like, we got to be honest with ourselves here, man. A guy like this, you know, anytime we've seen Conor before, on the highest of horses he's ever been on, he's reached, and sometimes he's been able to obtain. But, like, with Usman, I have no idea what he thinks is going to happen. When this would happen, I don't know. I'm guessing he thinks he has enough pull at least to get one more fight. Who knows? It might be meds talking.
No, I mean, it could be that. But if I was Usman, I would invite it because I'm like, hey, man, it's easiest paycheck of my life.
Oh yeah, that's why he's like so giddy to joke about it because he's like, hey, come on up to 170.
Yeah,
please. I'm gonna tie you out in the first and second, and then I'm gonna really knock you out in the third and fourth. Try and make it nice.
Yeah,
I'm just saying,
bro. Listen, I'll be honest with you. If Usman fought Conor, he's probably getting Conor out in the second. I think Conor got like. I've always said this, Connor gasses pretty quickly. And now, and that was a lot of time from what I'll put it like this, from what I've seen and heard, it's a lot of it has to do with a leg injury pre UFC. So he doesn't run a lot. So he did a lot of aquatics in terms of like exercise, right? For aerobics. So now with another freak accident to his leg, to the other leg, I think, man, Kamaru's getting this guy out of here in two rounds. And he's going to probably get the biggest payday of his life at the same time.
Yeah, he's just going to cripple the dude. Paralyzes him. So
wow, we watched the UFC fight night that happened last weekend. The main event was Chris Daukaus versus Curtis Blaydes, ending in the second round. What were your thoughts?
Shouts out to Curtis Blaydes. That was a good knockout win that he did. I know there was a lot of criticism of him on his last fight when he beat Jarzyna Rozenstruik because he was very, like, you know, very hesitant, went back to his typical style of him just wrestling people to death and laying and praying and stuff. But I think that's because he was coming off of getting knocked the hell out by Derek Lewis, where he was probably trying to be like, okay, I'm fighting a guy who has knockout power. I'm just trying to be careful. Well, once he got that win, you could tell he got his wits back. He didn't shoot for no takedowns in this fight with Chris Daukaus. And he was on the feet, he was giving it to him too. And then when he knocked him out, I was like, yeah, it wasn't one of those overhand rights, I'm going to pray for the best. No, it was very calculated. He was countering him pretty well. And shouts out to Curtis Blaydes, man. I'm impressed with him. But that being said, I think Chris Daukaus should never get another main event unless he's on like a 6-7 fight win streak. Because I don't know where the guy came from. Then all of a sudden, he was getting rushed into a main event against Derek Lewis. Then all of a sudden, he gets brutally knocked out by Derek Lewis in the first round. Somehow, the UFC wants to give him another main event against another top five opponent in front of a live crowd this time. I don't get it. I don't get it. So hopefully that'll be the end of his main event career for a while. Co-main event with Alexa Grasso and who was that? Joanne Wood.
Yep.
Shouts out to Alexa Grasso. Finished her in the first round, submitted her. So good for her. She's probably going to be in line for a title shot soon if they can't give her another top 125 pounder. Now the fight of the night, Matt Brown versus Brian
Barberino.
Yeah, that fight was crazy. I thought Matt Brown won, but nevertheless, the fight was very exciting, very back and forth war, both just clobbering each other. So shouts out to both guys. Hopefully they won the fight of the night. And Askar Avarov versus Kai Kara-France, the guy that knocked out Cody Garbrandt. Yeah, that was a good fight. And Kai Kara-France, he's next in line for the belt. So I know they already announced Brandon Moreno versus Davison Figueiredo 4, which is, I think, is the first time in UFC history when they have a fourth fight. But yeah, Kai Kara-France should get the winner of that.
You know, this UFC fight night was actually pretty enjoyable. Like you said, I'll say the most watchable fight was the Matt Brown fight. I personally had it going for Matt Brown as well. I think Brian Barberino did enough work, or did a little bit of work in the third round, but I still kind of had the fight going mostly for Matt Brown. And on top of that, like, I, you know, also wanted him to win. So maybe I'm a little biased, but I personally was scoring the fight for him. Alexa Grasso kind of went in there and made quick work of Joanne Wood. I was interested to see a new contender step up the flyweight. So I'm curious to see as to who they have her fight next. Curtis Blaydes did his thing. Shouts out to Curtis Blaydes. It shows that he's trying to bring a new dimension to his game. Everybody knows him to be a wrestler, and he's shown on a couple occasions now that he does have some type of knockout ability. I mean, he did knock out Junior Dos Santos as well. So let's not, you know, mistake that just because he got knocked out by Derek Lewis, who is known for knocking a lot of people out. So that's that. As far as Kai Kara-France, I'm interested to see him actually go against the winner of the Moreno fight. But at the same point in time, I feel like he might as well take another fight just in case. Or I would say, why, actually, when was that fight supposed to be happening, La?
The Moreno fight?
Yeah.
Last thing I read on it was, I think it's supposed to be a co-main event for like the July card.
Yeah, he might as well take another fight then, because like if it's all like that. He's gonna be waiting for a bit because they're gonna fight in July. Then he's not gonna fight till the end of the year. He's just gonna wait.
I mean, fighters do it all the time, man.
I mean, that's fair. I just I would hope that the fight goes off without a hitch. Then, you know.
Fair enough.
Now, in the meantime, but while that's been happening, have you been watching March Madness? Spence, have you been watching March Madness? He has not been watching March Madness. Lyle, have you been watching March Madness?
Yeah, man, I have been. And now that we got the final four guys, which is pretty much, I think the surprise one is North Carolina and Villanova. But yeah, the final four, Kansas, Villanova, Duke, North Carolina. And I think that the game that everybody wants to tune into is the Duke versus North Carolina game. Because that's a big rivalry game. First time they're meeting each other in Final Four history. So cool for the men. Shouts out to the men. And I'm not rooting for any team. I'm just hoping that they're great games.
I thought it was interesting to see the St. Peter's run that they had. They were getting off a lot of upsets. And I thought that was kind of cool to see. I was, you know, trying to see as to how far they were actually going to go into the tournament. Yeah. Their run ended, but I enjoyed seeing them actually pull off the upset a lot of times.
Yeah, same. I think everybody did. And if they pulled off the upset against North Carolina, you know, they would have been very celebrated and people would have really got behind them. But you know, shouts out to St. Peter's. You know, obviously it was a team that nobody was expecting to win from the first round. So
I thought, yeah,
shouts out to them.
Shouts out.
Shout outs to them, man.
Shout out to St. Peter. Yeah.
Now, I actually, in terms of, what did I cut you off?
No.
Nah.
I thought you were about to say something. Well, in terms of like the Final Four, some girl I went to high school with, I think her cousin plays for Duke. So I kind of, yeah. And I think he's actually like one of the, I forget his name, but I think he's actually one of like the starters. So yeah, I've been keeping up with it to some extent, but yeah, shout out, like you said, shout outs to them, man. Shout outs to them.
The real matchup that y'all are looking forward to, that y'all been actually waiting for or waiting to see if it feels real or not,
is Freddie Fibbs.
Benny the Butcher versus Freddie Gibbs.
Freddie Fibbs. We on the side of Griselda, right?
It is what it is.
I'm not gonna lie to you. As a Griselda fan, this might be one of the most disheartening beefs in terms of hip hop. Just period. I mean, I'll put it like this. Anybody that listens to this podcast has listened to any of our albums of the year, whether it's 2020, 2021. I think it's fair to say you can understand why we are big fans of both of these artists.
Right.
As well as they're both produced, a lot of their classics have been produced by the same producer. And they've been on featured songs on each other's stuff plenty of times before. So, yeah, man, this is probably one. Benny the Butcher and Freddie Gibbs may be one of the more type of feelings.
And interesting conflicts. I just think that Freddie Gibbs, he's been in a lot of shit lately. You know, his situation with Jim Jones, allegedly his, no, I'm going to say allegedly, because obviously none of us were there. So then of course the shit with Gunna, and then he'd been taking shots at Benny. Now Benny's finally like not staying silent anymore. I just think, I don't know what's going on with Freddie, but it just seems like he just can't stay away from like controversial situations. And hopefully it doesn't lead to violence. And at the most, it leads to a few diss records or shots and songs. And that's it. Hopefully they could reconcile and maybe work on that album that, you know, he was begging Benny to be on.
Begged me to do an album with you. You begged me.
Nah.
Go ahead.
Nah, it just sucks to see that they won't be making music together for a bit. You know what I mean? Like, it's a little irritating just for that perspective alone, more or less than anything else for me.
Yeah, and definitely when you know where it, I think most people agree that Benny's probably the best rapper. It was like the best out of the beginning of Griselda, if not all of Griselda, right? And we all can respect that Freddie Gibbs should have possibly had one of the best, had one of the best, if not the best album of the year, what, 2020? So yeah. Like Grammy nominated, these are two great artists. So it's unfortunate, definitely knowing that because their circles overlap so much, I'm sure there will be a reconcile, but at the same time, this could always go left, unfortunately.
I hope not, man. I mean, whether you're whatever side on, like, side of the coin you're on, hopefully no, at least no violence, you know what I mean? Because I feel like that's unnecessary. Now, it'd be different if something crazy happened, like, and this is all hypothetical, I'm not saying this is real, but like Freddie Gibbs people ran up on Benny and then they try to fucking rob him or something. Then yeah, that's a personal situation.
Right.
But obviously that didn't happen. So hopefully he just sticks to the music and that's it.
But I think it will, though. It seems like it's just I'm not sure exactly what the ins and outs of it are, but it doesn't seem like they're trying to do much more than talk some shit.
Yeah. I mean, I'll put it like this. In all the three different situations that Loud named, right? Whether it's Benny, whether it's Gunna, or whether it's Jim Jones. I mean, I think it's safe to say this all is because of Twitter. If you think about it, each one of these incidents or each one of these feuds have been fueled by tweets that Freddie Gibbs has made over the years. Whether it's in... I think things start to look clearer in the light in this situation where it's like, yo, clearly this is like the prime example of why you shouldn't use social media. There's nothing wrong with using social media to communicate, but using social media to like just poke fun at people for no reason. It's like a kid minding his business in class. And nobody's bothering him. He's doing his homework. So someone just says, oh, let me just go mess with him. It's like, there was nothing to do. There was no reason for it. And if he smacks you, you can't get mad at it. So it's like, I don't know. Freddie Gibbs needs to just reassess everything. But just based off what we've seen over history, I'll be hopeful that his actions change, especially now that he's actually doing TV shows, which I don't think he's going to be on long. But
now, from those two rappers not working together to two rappers that you guys like more or less working together, we get to Jay Worthy and Larry June, two peas in a pod.
Hey!
Wow, he just exposed himself, listeners, that he vehemently hates Larry June and Jay Worthy. He thinks that they're the worst rappers he's ever heard, or he would have never started his line the way he did. He would have been like, now a mixtape that I loved and listening to. Instead, he was like, oh, an artist you guys like. So yeah, two peas in a pod. Here's my honest take on it. She's Not Around. It's my favorite song off the project. I think that's a great sample, fantastic sample. The song with Jim Jones is hard as shit. I fucks with that song. And I think there might be one or two more songs on there that I can tolerate. That I can listen to and rock with. But majority of this project to me is not good. That's my take on it.
I mean, I'm not mad at that. I think for the most part, I didn't have a problem with this album. I do believe that She's Not Around is probably the best track on this project, hands down, without question. To me, I'll put it like this. My opinion when it comes to this album is if you take 70s music, right? The music from the 70s, and then you that funky style of music, and then you take someone rapping, that's all it is to me. It's just 70s. This is what rapping today would sound like if it was in the 70s, and to some extent, right? Just based off the beat selection alone. But to me, it wasn't a bad project. I hope this isn't the direction that Larry June wants to go in long term. And the only reason I say it is because it's, to me, the project's not bad. I just don't see this being the style that I've grown to love from Larry June. What makes me a fan of Larry June is not necessarily something that sounds like it's like 1974. I got bell bottoms on and I got the platform shoes and I'm about to go to Superfly. Like, don't get me wrong, that's cool for the summer a little bit, but I'm hoping Larry June comes with something that's a little bit more more flavored in what he's put out before, especially as we wait for this whole Griselda thing.
For me, when I listen to Larry June and I hear him rapping the style of the like that dot 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 dot, like, to me it's just like, it's cool for like a few songs, but to me it's not, I don't want to hear a full mixtape of that. I don't think I would want to hear that from anybody all the way through for like a full mixtape. Like, so I understand that, you know, a whole bunch of people probably like that, but it's not necessarily my cup of tea. I like it when Larry June's actually rapping. And Jay Worthy, for that matter, too. I don't think they're bad rappers. I'm just not a fan of this like that. It's just not my shit.
Do you like She's Not Around?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Oh, okay. All right. If you did like that, I'd be like, all right, you're a fucking hater.
No, you know what I actually listened to this weekend, believe it or not? Latto's album.
Really? How was that?
It was, man. Yeah. I'll put it like this, right?
Be honest.
I'm gonna be honest.
Be brutally honest.
The way I see it is
harshest criticism you can do. Make yourself as a woman hater.
Jeez. Oh my God. Nah, Latto can actually rap. I'm not gonna listen to an album full of, you know, having sex with a dude, because that's just not me. You know what I mean? I don't want to hear a full album of that. But I mean, I'm not saying that it's the only thing she rapped. She rapped about a few things, you know what I mean? But there is a lot of that on there. You know what I mean?
So that's predominantly the album. And out of 100%, if it's 10 songs, how out of 10 songs, how much am I hearing of that?
I would say listen to it for yourself.
Nah, bro. I'm asking you a question. You listen to it.
Yeah.
If you want me to give you a percentage, I'll say like,
this is your perception.
Half, at least half.
So 50%.
Okay. At least half, yeah.
Okay.
A minimum of 50%. Okay.
All right.
I'm not saying it's a bad album, though. Like, she actually can rap and some of the beats are kind of hard. But I mean, like, that being said, it's, you know, it is what it is.
Listen, man, I'm not surprised that she can rap, though. I'll give her that. I'm not surprised that she can rap. There's a lot of, to me, I think there's a lot of female rappers that can actually rap. That, I mean, I think we all know, just like any other person knows, like, certain things sell more than others. And I think that's a cause for not just female rappers. I think that's a lot of rappers in general, but.
Right, of course. And there are all going to be people who want to hear that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, of course. That's more of the masses, if anything. I think the masses care for something like that in comparison to like a smaller select than the minority, I would say.
No.
Nothing. You go ahead.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I ain't gonna say it again. Go ahead, bro.
Sheesh. Hey, yo, quick question. Did y'all listen to I Know Nigo or no?
I did.
Yes.
Did you?
You want?
Yeah, I listen to
it every day, multiple times a day.
Nah, I was anticipating it. I'll say that much. All right.
I don't think it's a good album.
It's decent.
I'll give you decent. I don't think it's what the academic comments are saying.
It's not like album of the year.
What are they saying?
They're saying, oh, this is like the rap Avengers.
Wow. That's kind of wild. It's not all that. I mean, it has some cool songs on there, and I would say I like some of the beats, but there's a certain point in the album where I kind of could tune out if I wanted.
Yeah, there's at least one song on here that's really bad.
I'm curious to hear this song.
Want It Bad with him and Kid Cudi.
Oh, yeah. That was in the bin. I thought you were going to talk about the Pharrell ASAP Ferg song.
I don't know what's going on with
the paper plates.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Look, listen, man. Look, man.
Hey, man, the rap Avengers.
Look, if I'll put it like this, this is like the rap Avengers for people that started listening, that were like fans of rap. Well, Academics Crew, which is like mumble rapper fans.
Yeah.
This would be in that it's not Avengers though. I'm far from. I'm just happy that he had Pusha T in the clip. The fact that he had Malice on this was more than enough for me though.
That was dope.
I think I'm not mad at Nigel doing this because I think it's
Nigo.
You know, is it Nigo or Nigel? Yeah. I thought it was Nigo. Okay. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying, all right. I'm not wrong. I know that's your. I didn't know that was your man. Well, I never see you wear. I never see Spence wear a bait a day in his life.
Yeah, listen, man. Yeah, listen. I'm like, what was the one dude named? Well, not the dude that he went to jail though. You remember the dude that was like running up to Supreme?
I know what you're talking about. I just can't remember. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
He was really running up to kids to him like, yo, y'all need to take this Supreme stuff on and put on Bape right now. Pressing. You remember, I think he got shot for that too, but that's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
Finish your thought, my bad.
Yeah, I'm not mad at him doing this. I think it's, you know, I think I have no problem with people being creative and stuff. Like, look at DJ Khaled. DJ Khaled's not a rapper, and he's always assembling the mainstream artists to put together a project. So I'm not mad at this. I think it's cool. I just don't think it's the best project out there. That's the only thing.
What I will say I listened to this weekend was Crime Apple's new album, Jaguar Paradise 2. That's kind of hard. If you liked his last album, Spence, you should give that a listen because I know you didn't listen to that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what's up, though. Congratulations on
dropping. He's not going to listen to this shit. He's not going to
give it a try.
Yeah.
Nah, that's what's up, though.
You can see all this facial expression.
Not even trying to hide it.
When you want to see the true suspense, just look at his face.
So what you mean? I don't know what you're talking about, man.
You know when he likes something, you know when he don't like something, you know he's passionate.
Yo, man, what can I say, man? I'm a very transparent individual, I guess you could say.
That's fair.
Hey, man. Yeah. Some ladies will like that, man. Because they'll be like, I could read this motherfucker like a book.
Nah, some won't, because some of them, you know, they might not like his reactions to everything.
That's true, too. Yeah. That's true, too. Yeah. It's too honest. Man.
Yeah, for real.
It's like, does this make me look fat? I mean, do you really want to ask me that?
Yes. God, yes. It's like, all right, Spence, damn. Like,
it's like, yo, she asked me a question and I was just honest with her, man. Mm. It's like, bro, you're never getting anywhere like that.
Damn, but, ladies. That's your king, ladies.
Yo. I would quote somebody, but I'm gonna leave that in the group chat.
Oh shit, that's funny.
Oh man. In other news though, outside of just those rappers, there was I think I mentioned this artist before, Kerr. He did drop a song called Road to Riches.
Shout out to Kerr.
Yeah, pretty good song. Curious to see what comes of that. But yeah, not much. Honestly, I've been listening to him a lot more of the BK drill music lately. So
okay. Were you listening to like K Supreme and shit?
Nah.
Remember the shit that Nacho was telling you about?
I listened to some of that, but I haven't listened to it since then. I listened to some of it that day, but not since then. It's primarily like the main known ones, which would be what. On both sides. I'll explain a little bit more afterwards, but primarily like K Flock, B Love, D Thing. It's very interesting listening to the music because it's just nothing more than just songs.
You need to listen to some Big Flock.
Really?
Yeah, Big Flock from the DMV area.
Yeah, man. DMV DMV drill. You gotta get
I have to check them out.
The DMV French Connection.
Long live the goon.
Slat, right?
Do we have anything else that we're gonna go over? Y'all, are y'all gonna go see Morbius?
No,
Spence, be real. You're not going to go see that shit either. You're not. You're not going to go see it. We all know you're not.
You don't know that, though.
Yeah, I know.
You don't know that, though.
If he wasn't going to go see Batman, I know damn well. No.
Batman is like 3 hours, bro. I'm not...
Morbius ain't a short movie neither.
Oh, nah.
At least 2 hours.
Yeah.
About a side Spider-Man character. Not even Spider-Man. He's not even in the bitch.
Yeah.
Just Morbius.
Yeah, it's just a guy who turns into a vampire.
Hey, bro. Listen, man. Once I figure out how long this movie gonna be, then that's when I'll figure out if I'm going to see it.
Hey, man. Well, we can't wait to hear your review.
All right. Are there any other words for the listeners?
No. I don't. Hey, man, listeners. Drink your liquor. Jeez. Drink your promethazine.
Oh, my God.
I missed one episode. Y'all telling them drink lean now? Jeez. What happened to water?
Drink the soldier lean.
The big soldier lean,
too. Yeah, the synthetic oil. Make sure you guys could digest that.
Spence, where can you follow us at?
So where they can follow us? I mean, I can't. Lau set the bar so high I can't even jump. I'm not even gonna try to pull up on it. So I'm gonna just keep it on. I'm gonna keep it straight up with you, right? You can check us out on Twitter if you want to, and that's if you want to hear our thoughts, opinions, whatever else anything that's going on. Especially when this whole Will Smith thing was going on, you should have been on Twitter. If you want to see the faces, of course, especially the background, check it out on YouTube at the Highly Advised Podcast. Oh, I don't even think I told him the Twitter. The Twitter is advised highly. Just some. Like, remind me of Kanye. It's like, you remember, you know that shit. Uncle that eats a sandwich for the first time was like,
yeah, I know.
Just like,
yeah.
But
he's the uncle.
Uncle Damn, Mano, what yeah. you? Man, what you put on that social media, man? What you put on that social media, man? Damn.
Damn, but, nephew.
Damn, nephew. Where can we follow you at? I should try to do the whole voice. But if you want to check us out on Instagram, follow us at the Highly Advised Podcast. If you want to check us out on Twitter, Advise Highly. See our lovely faces. Always go to YouTube, which is the Highly Advised Podcast. And of course, if you don't want to listen to it, if you don't want to watch us on your TV, which is probably the best option for you if you're working from home, it ain't like you watching anything else. You're probably watching something. You probably binge watching on something you watched 2 weeks ago. Or if you don't want to watch us on, if you don't want to see our faces, but you want to just hear the voice, we're on every streaming platform you could think of. So your primary everyone. So just type in the Highly Advised Podcast. I'm talking Apple, Google, ones you never even heard of, ones that only got like a handful of people. Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, whoever you can think of, we're everywhere. So,
and if you don't, you're broke.
Jesus.
Jeez.
That movie is an hour and 40 minutes, by the way. An hour and 44 minutes.
That's what's up.
Well, you're not gonna see it. All right.
Yeah,
that's all I need to know.
Yo, man,
I told you. Look at his face.
Yo, bro.
Listen to his answer. Look at his face.
Yeah. Listen, man. I don't lie, man. I will at some point in life. I will be watching this Morbius movie.
Bro. I'm sure you will.
Yeah,
life can be long, so.
So you're gonna go watch it in your 60s.
Yep.
Yeah,
okay. With my grandson and be like, yo, it's like I meant to watch this when I was back in the day.
Grandson don't want to watch that shit.
hey, put on actual Spider-Man. Yeah, no. While we watching that bullshit.
Nah, probably. Trust me. By then, I'm sure they'd be like, yo, just give me the glasses. Let me just hop in the metaverse by then. More likely.
Oh yeah. Shit! Yeah, you're right. Be in that. Yeah.
All right. With that, y'all been highly advised. What? You guys have been highly advised.
And so around.
It was like, yo, all right. It's like someone just came in and just said, yo, cut all of this off. You got 2 minutes. You got 60 seconds. Cut it all off. It's like,
they've been highly advised. They know.
Like, yeah, man, you know, blah, blah, blah. All right, you've been highly advised. We're out. Bye. It's like, geez, Nigel.
Episode 90, feel me?
Yeah. Like my co-hosts have said, though, this is episode 90. It's came to a wrap. We told you where to go. Listen back. Leave a comment. Like, comment, subscribe. Oh, shout outs to the over 100 subscribers that we have on YouTube. One of our new milestones, as well as this is... We've passed it now. I believe this is year two since our first episode.
Year two, man. Yeah, man. For independent startup by three, you know, ancestral African astral emperors. Yo, you related to the dude though, for real.
I'm not related to this guy, man.
Nah, y'all are cousins.
Both of y'all are gonna go watch Morbius.
Theorize that's what it actually means.
Yeah. Look, we can have. Let's cut the Leo. Let's end the show so we got the Umar conversation, man. All right. With that being said, you've been advised. See you next week. Drink your freaking water. All right. You've been advised. Shasha.